on rekabasa ndalala na boshi kide baya karabaka bosa kadi rekadi baya kabasa kadi shikide boko bosa karabasa ndiri you are holy God abaka basa karabaka she edede kurasa kadiba thank you Jehovah God you are holy karabaka basa karabaka bashi edede kurabaka basa kadi thank you Jehovah God you are mighty we bless your name oh God we honor you God we adore you kurabaka sekinde thank you Jesus thank you Lord thank you Father God you are gracious thank you Lord we bless your name oh God we honor you we thank you Jesus amen hallelujah precious Savior we thank you we give you glory amen amen God is good all the time all the time God is good yes good to see you all and indeed it is a blessing of God that we are together again and his name be praised and be worshipped and today we'll still looking at the character of God and trying to understand this God that we call Father. You know, Jesus introduced to us that God is a father and he was like, you know what, God is my father, God is my father. When you pray, say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And that really was very hard for the Jews to understand, because he was saying that, are you saying that God is your father? And what do you mean by that? And a whole conversation goes into that, which we will not get into today. But today I wanted us to look at the, I can say just, it's more about intimacy, but it's also about the face of God and trying to see the face of God or knowing the face of God, or you could even call it the goodness of God. But let's just look at Exodus. We'll try and look at Exodus 33. And we will look at Exodus 33 and we can read from verse 9. Okay, maybe even from verse 8. Exodus 33, and we can read from verse 8. Yeah, if we're there, we'll say, okay, it goes. And it came to pass when Moses went out unto the tabernacle, and remember this tabernacle was a tent that Moses placed that's outside the camp, and it was, you know, when the Israelites were in the desert, they camped, you know, together, and you know, the tent, or rather the tabernacle, or where the where Moses would meet God was just outside their camp. And was, so it tells us, and it came to pass when Moses went out unto the tabernacle that the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. Verse 9, and it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar, or you know, remember they had the pillar of cloud that will cover them during the day, descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked to Moses. So God will speak to Moses face to face, but it is through the cloud. So remember that it's God had covered himself in the pillar of cloud, and he talked with Moses, and the Lord talked with Moses. Verse 10, and all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand up the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshipped every man in his tent door. Verse 11, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. So God will, God will come in the cloud. Moses will come. Moses will come, then God will come. The cloud will come, and they will speak face to face. Everyone, at the door of their tents. They stood, they watched, they worshipped, and then Moses would leave, and but Joshua stayed there. And then verse 12 says that, and Moses said unto the Lord, see, you say unto me, bring up these people, and you have not yet let me know whom you will send me with. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and hast you have found grace in my sight. Verse 13, now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is your people. And he said, my presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. Verse 15, and he said, if your presence does not go with me, carry us not out of here. Verse 16, for wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and this people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. Verse 17, and the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that you have spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. Now, if we look up until there, there are some requests that Moses was making. Huh? So he was like, okay, you've been walking with us, God, but you've never, you've told me that I found favor with you. You tell me that I know thee, but you have not shown me your ways. Show me your ways. And then he was like, okay, I will show you. And then he said, okay, consider these people your people. You can see how Moses was an intercessor for his people. Consider this nation your people. If we are found, let your presence go with us. And he said, sure, okay, God, I will do it. What you have asked for, I will do it. So you can see that it's like God is never surprised with our requests. Huh? Because especially to those that are intimate with him, you can see how he would communicate with Moses as a man talks with his friend, face to face. Like, I mean, you speak, I speak, you speak, I speak, you speak, I speak. And then so Moses starts to ask, and he's like, okay. Then verse 18 is where it gets more interesting. And he said, I beseech thee, I ask thee, show me your glory. Show me thy glory. You can see how different things he's been asking for. But then the question that I wonder is, at this point, what was Moses looking for that he had not yet seen? I'm thinking he had seen the burning bush. I'm thinking he had seen, you know, the stick turn into a snake. He had seen all the miracles. He had seen, you know, all the signs and wonders that were done in Egypt. He had seen the crossing of the Red Sea. He had seen the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire at night, and God will come. But then he still asks, I still ask of you, show me your glory. That tells us that there's still something about God that he wanted to see, he wanted to know, he wanted to experience. And that shows me the kind of hunger that Moses had, and the character that God considered him as his friend, that he will constantly desire to know his friend, to constantly desire to know God. And he asked, and I beseech you, show me your glory. Verse 19, and he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Verse 20 said, and he said, thou cannot see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. We'll get back to that. Verse 21, and the Lord said, but behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Interesting. God is like, okay, now show me your glory. And God is like, sure, I will make all my goodness pass before you. So he asked for glory. God was showing him goodness. And so it's like glory is goodness and goodness is glory. So I will make all my goodness to pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. So the glory of God is, God was trying to show him in two aspects, his goodness. That means, and here the goodness shows his beauty, his majesty, his splendor. And I will also proclaim my name. So you can see that he's trying to tell him that also in my name, you can also see my glory. You can also know my glory. And that is telling us that God was basically telling him that I can reveal my glory to you in my name. I can also reveal my glory to you in my beauty, in my splendor, in my goodness. So if we quickly jump to verse 34, chapter 34, now where God now decides to show him. And if you just go to verse 5, it says, Exodus 34, verse 5, and the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him, and there proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord, this is verse 6, and this is where now God is proclaiming his glory and his goodness to Moses. And he said, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that while by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and fourth generation. And verse 8 tells us, and Moses made haste and bowed his head towards the earth and worshipped. So when Moses asked to see the glory of God, God told him that I will place you in a rock by me. There is a place by me. That means for Moses to see God, he had to be placed in the cleft in the rock. And that rock, as we understand it, is Christ. Remember, we remember Paul shows us that the rock they drank from was Christ. That rock that was with them, that rock was Christ. And that's why we must understand that he could only see God when he is in the place by God, which is in Christ. It was only in Christ that he was able to see God. But you see, there is something that we must understand, in that it is not that God did not desire Moses to see his face, but at that point, it was more of like that was still hidden to him. That pathway or that place where we could see the face of God, where we could see the intimacy of God, it is still a place that was hidden because Christ had not yet died and had not yet opened the way for us to meet God. So in the intimacy that Moses had, or rather even in the intimacy of the law, there is a part of it that they just see. They can see the glory, they can see the goodness, they can see the signs, they can see the miracles, but there's still an intimacy that they miss because they are not in that rock. They are not placed in Christ. They are not yet in Christ. So he was told, I will place you on a rock, and then I will cover you, your face with my hand, and I will pass before you. And after I have passed, I shall open up my hand and allow you to see my back. And you see, what we understand, when Moses saw the back of God or the goodness of God, he was now able to go back to the beginning. And in going back to the beginning, he now was able to write for us the five, you know, books of the Bible. And what history tells us is that Moses was the one who wrote Genesis, you know, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, because he was able to see the beginning. You know, when he saw the back of God, he saw the, you know, the starting point. But you see, when we come to Christ, we can see that John, who is now the revelator, John, who is the disciple of Jesus, now has a different vision of God, in that he not only sees the beginning, which he even sees beyond what Moses saw. That's why he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Because Moses could only see the creation, but John sees even beyond that, but he also sees the end. Why? Because the place that one could know God, could have intimacy with God, and the face of God could be revealed is in Christ. And this is where now he could see even the end. So now there was a full vision of God, a full expression, a full intimacy that is experienced in Christ when we get to know God. And let's just back that up with what we mean when we say that we can see the face of God in the new covenant. And this is, we can go to 2 Corinthians, and we can go to chapter 4, and we can settle on one verse there, which is verse 6. Maybe we can read from the beginning, up to 1 up to 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And the Bible says that, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by a manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Verse 4, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So we are now trying to see the image of God. We are trying to now see the face of God. So we are being told, if, because they are lost, because the God of this world, who is the devil, has blinded their minds. So where are we seeing God from? We are seeing him even in our minds. Has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, Christ is the image of God, should shine upon them. Verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Verse 6, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God, who commanded light to shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So, for us to see the face of God, for us to see the image of God, we see it in the face of Jesus Christ. And we see it revealed in the knowledge. When we come to the full knowledge of God, when we come to a perfect understanding of who God is, that is when we see God. Because sight here is a perception, is an understanding, is coming to a full awareness of who God is. The reason why God hands over people to a depraved mind is because they chose not to retain the knowledge of God. And God hands them over to a depraved mind to do whatever they want, to corrupt their bodies, to do wicked things, to exchange unnatural things for natural things. The reason why they do that is because, not that they could not see God revealed in creation, they could not see God revealed in his beauty, or God revealed in their conscience, because the Bible says no man is without excuse. If you read Romans chapter 1 from verse 18 onwards, it will tell you that there is no one who has an excuse to not know God. Because God has made his nature, his attributes, his qualities, his presence known to every man through creation. when we look at anything that is discovered today, whether it is this the solar system, whether it is the galaxies, whether it is a discovery in medicine and what, all those things point us to an intelligent maker. It points us to the glory of God that someone made this. There is no way that our bodies can work so functionally out of chaos. Science will argue, oh, no, everything came out of chaos. But they will ask, if you ask them, what is that first particle they have? They can never answer it. Why? Because there is a place for God. And that place of God is the knowledge of God. And when we know God, when we have epignosis, when we have that full revelation of who God is, when we come to the understanding of who God is and his love for us, his character, then we are able to realize that we only see God, we only come to know God in Christ, where we have the full revelation of God and we see the face of God in Christ. And that is a place where we can have truest intimacy with God. It is only the person that has come to experience God, it's only the person that has come to know God through Christ that has the full knowledge of God. The law only gave a part of God. They only gave the back of God. The law only, it gives a form, an understanding of God, but it is just partial. But it is in Christ that the veil is taken away. And that is why we behold him. The Bible says we behold him as in a mirror. As you know, and we are, as we behold him, we are being transformed. We are being changed with an ever-increasing glory into the very image of God. The thing is, as we see God, as we encounter God, as we know him by his knowledge, as we know him, remember Habakkuk 2:14, it says, the whole earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That glory of God that people want to see, that goodness of God, that intimacy, that knowing God face to face is the knowledge of the glory of God. We must know God. And how do we know God? Is knowing him through Christ Jesus. It is only when we come to that perfect man, to that perfect man. And this is why God gives us apostles, pastors, prophets, teachers, for the equipping of the body, you know, and for the building up of the body to come unto the measure of that perfect man, unto the knowledge of that perfect man. That is Christ. The place of intimacy, the place where we get to know God, where we get to see him face to face, that Moses was asking, show me your glory, show me your goodness, if I found favor with you. Now, remember, what did Jesus say? I have come to declare the year of the Lord's favor, to proclaim the Lord's favor. That means that it's no longer, you're no longer saying, oh God, do you favor me? No. Christ already declared it, to declare freedom for the prisoners and to declare the year of the Lord's favor, to declare Jubilee. And when Jubilee was declared, what happened? All prisoners were set free. All debts were canceled. Why did Jesus declare Jubilee? Because he came to set us free from the prison of sin. Everything in the Old Testament points us to Christ. And that is why Christ came to declare freedom. And he that the Son sets free is free indeed. Each time you read about God, each time God is revealed to you, each time you have a revelation of God, you have an understanding of God, you hear someone that reveals a dimension of God to you, you are seeing the face of God. You're coming to an understanding of who God is. And as you understand him, you're also being transformed into becoming like him, into his very image. And now that is the intimacy that the new covenant, that the new minister, that the new creation has, that the old covenant, that Moses, yes, in as much as he saw the wonders, in as much as he saw that sight of God, he still could not have a full comprehension of God because he was just placed by the rock. But as we are in Christ, we are in Christ, and in Christ we see him as he is. Right now we might not fully comprehend it, but a time will come when we shall fully know him. But as if we can just grasp this knowledge that God reveals himself, his face, God who causes light to shine out of darkness, has revealed, has chosen to shine that in our hearts and to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We see God and we can see God through Christ. If you want to know God, if you want to experience God, if you want to see God, if you want to see the face of God, if you want to live in intimacy where you can just speak to God, it is when you are in Christ and through His Spirit, you can just communicate to Him one at a time, one word at a time, one word at a time, and he will answer you. He will communicate. He will speak to you. It is us that we need to submit ourselves to learn of Him. When He says, take my yoke and learn of me, for I am gentle. I am gentle. God says, my yoke is gentle and my burden is light. Just learn of me. Learn of Christ. The more you learn of Christ is the more you learn of God. The more you know God and the more you see God, the more you reflect His glory. And the more you know of His glory, the more that glory translates to your life. You are a reflection of the glory of God that you know. Everything around you is a reflection of the knowledge of God, of the epignosis of God that you know, because we reflect, we are reflectors of God. So our lives reflect the glory of God. And that glory of God is the knowledge, is the epignosis, is the understanding of God that we know, or that we have learned, and that we have encountered, and that is only in Christ. I will stop there, and I pray that God will give us understanding, and even beyond that, you can listen again, and if you have any reflections, you can come in here. Yeah. Welcome.
Thank you, Doctor. Thank you for that reminder. Thank you for that message. It God is deep.
Yeah.
To understand Him, to experience all that, we need to submit ourselves to be able to read, to at least understand Him to a certain extent. And we can see that Moses, even despite the weaknesses, you can see how stubborn he was, you know, with all the signs, with all the things God had done, he kept on still demanding more and more. But again, that also speaks to the character of the Father that we have, a Father who understands us even with our stubbornness, not give up on us, who is patient with us, with our weaknesses, you see, because today, if you're talking to your child and your child keeps on sounding, and if they're doubting your authority, as if they doubt your ability to support them, you know, I don't know whether we'll have that patience. But God, and in all His might and glory, He was patient. And I think it's a lesson for fathers. Try and learn. You see, just like our Father in heaven, there is need to be patient with those that we call our children.
Yeah.
So thank you for the word.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
So thank you for the word. I think there's a lot.
Yeah, sorry. It came packed. Go ahead. Yeah, sorry.
But I think two things stood out for me from what you shared. Number one is the fact that we still see Christ even in the Old Testament. I think for me personally, I grew up knowing that the Old Testament was only for God the Father, the New Testament was for God the Son, and we're now in the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. But it's very interesting for us to study and see how we can connect, you know, Christ, even in the Old Testament. And going forward to the New Testament, we have Christ. And I don't know if this was the point, Exodus 34, going forward, where Moses came down and his face was shining and he had to cover the veil. cover his face with the veil. I don't know if this was that point, but even with that glory that his face was radiating, it still ended up diminishing. Yeah,
true.
But fast forward to the New Testament, the Bible tells us that we have a better covenant, and for us, it's from glory to glory. Yeah, there's no veil covering. We don't have to, because at some point the children of Israel didn't even know that the glory was reducing from the face of God. Yeah, but for us, we have access to our high priest, and every time we get to commune with him, we get to shine brighter and brighter. The glory doesn't reduce. Yeah.
Amen.
It's just good to know that we get to enjoy the better covenant.
Hallelujah. Wow. Amen. That's powerful. That's really a reflection of Christ. And as you know, as Tabu mentioned, that our God is deep. And even when someone, you know, when we have conversations of God, they're like deep conversations, and you're like, wow, the glory of God that was on Moses' face was decreasing, and they could not see it was decreasing. The Bible says Moses did not know, but they saw, and they're like, you cover your face, it's too much for us. And then it decreases. But then for us, it keeps growing from one level of glory to another. That's why the Bible says, it is still not yet known what we shall be. But we are sons of God. And that is, God has hidden everything about him, encapsulated in man. That is why we are better than angels. We are better than any creature. And that's why we should never even worship angels. Why? Because we carry God ourselves. God is in us. You know, at times I find people are like, oh no, I've seen this angel. I'm like, the highest form of knowledge is Christ. That is the highest. And if we are seated with him in heavenly places, far above all thrones, all principalities, all powers, what is greater than that? Just know Christ, learn of Christ, experience him, know him, know he's inside you. That's why it says, greater is he that is in you, the one, than he that is in the world. Each time you face something, just say, greater. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is Christ that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is Christ than sickness. Greater is Christ than poverty. Greater is Christ than demonic attacks. Greater is Christ than bad dreams. Greater is Christ than theft. Greater is Christ than any challenge that we face. Greater is Christ in me. And that is the face of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you that your word comes forth to reveal you and to show us your face and to give us that epignosis, that full knowledge of the glory of God. And I know that this knowledge shall fill the earth and it shall cover the sea. I pray, as the waters cover the sea, that your knowledge shall fill the entire earth and use us to see and to make all men see that glory and to have understanding and open our inner man, even as we reflect on your word, as we reflect on the intimacy that you desire us to have through knowledge, oh God, through epignosis, oh God, give us that understanding. And my brother, my sister who desires to know you, who has not put their faith in Christ, today, even as they submit themselves to you, that Lord, you remove the veil, you cleanse their hearts, you forgive their sins, and you died for their sins, and you raise them up to receive your glory. And indeed, may they experience that glory as they commune with you. And even them that are far away off, that feel so far away from your presence, just as they submit to you, may they experience that peace that surpasses human understanding, that inner witness that you are with them and that you've never left us alone. I pray, even as we go on to do our various works and responsibilities, that your presence goes ahead of us. You give us your favor, mercy, and kindness, O God. May we continue to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We honor you, we adore you, and we give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless, and have a blessed, blessed time. Shalom. Bye.